to let it go.
Your mind is somewhere else today, I think.
No, it's right here, very here. I was so involved in the details that I forgot to turn it on.
God.
It's the opposite of not being involved.
All right. The aftermath of the Six-Day War, I was involved as an intelligence officer in two main operations. One was to interrogate the air officers on mainly Egyptian, Egyptian, Jordanian, and Syrian, a few Lebanese, but very, very few. That was in a camp called Atlit.
Atlit?
Atlit,
famous for some reason.
That's on the way to Haifa.
Yes, I know the spot.
There was a big the barracks there, an old camp, which they put the big things around.
There's a railroad stop, the train stop, so it doesn't look from Haifa. The train from Haifa to
goes
right there.
Right by the camp, yeah.
I know it.
You said you were involved in the in
two. This is one
was
and the other one was to be a liaison with the CIA and American military intelligence, who came to learn about the Russian equipment, because we had it. We had the best of it was in our hands, and I spent weeks with this band in Tanya, Mugela, they were sitting there, they had a hell of a good time there, and the best of everything, but they paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they paid for it for a lot. Not so much in money as in intelligence. I'm not ready yet.
Those CIA people, what was their quality? Were they good?
Did you take it off?
No, I decided.
It's on. We they came after the officers. I learned specifically everything there was to know about the organization of the Egyptian army. We knew more about the Egyptian army at that time than the Americans. And Egyptian army at that time was Russian army, because it was a complete, it was completely based on Russian theories, on Russian organization. So whatever we knew, they were crazy about what we gave them. And the information that we got out of the Egyptian officers, there were some that were you just could not get them to say anything. There were a few, very few, and they tried everything with them. Even so far as one time they blindfolded one of those officers who claimed all the time that his job in the Sinai was to dig graves for Israeli soldiers. That was his job. But from others we knew that he was an intelligence officer.
Mm-hmm.
And who didn't come from from the head of the intelligence to the last interrogator, they all talked to this guy and nothing helped. They took him. They took him to a beach with a squad of parachute soldiers, and they blindfolded him right near the beach, and they told him to take his place. He came back and did a talking about it. What he said was a hollow lie. It was never so. But those were the few. The others,
we took. The others,
most of them talked, because you know it is. The thing is this: they don't take everybody together. They take one, okay, and they take them to one side. And then they take another one to another side, and then the next day, that officer who interrogated the one goes to the other. So you have cross references, cross information. So they can't lie to you that much, because when you start lying, you say, goodbye, I don't want to talk to you. And after a while, there were a lot of those officers who became very friendly with us. As a matter of fact, there were some who went home with some of our officers and for dinner and stay overnight. The Dizengoff Street, we took some. We took them to Akko to see the Arab town and the Israeli town. We made a lot of propaganda. And many of them said that they didn't know that Israel is so advanced and so developed, and they feel that Israel is here to stay. So we had a lot of propaganda that we made, and they paid a lot of mouth tribute. At the moment they were released and went over to the other side on a different soil, they were talking how bad they were treated, and they were. But they had to, otherwise they couldn't say that. But while they were there with the Egyptian officer, we had a good relationship. And it seemed to us at the time that the Egyptians are different from all the other Arabs, and which they are, because the Egyptians are not the Arabs in the first place. Because with the other ones, there was nothing to do with the Syrian officers. They wouldn't talk. They were very fanatical, very nasty. The Jordanians, they were their IQ usually was so low, and they were so low down that we didn't even feel like it was a challenge to talk to most of them. Even some of the Syrians, I mean, we had generals there in Latrun. In Latrun.
Latrun, that's right. I knew it. Okay. I soon as you said it.
Okay. That's the one that I was talking about. But Atleet, that's the. I was thinking all the time, I was looking for that word. We had absolutely no luck with the Syrian and Jordanian officers. One time they wanted to stage the hunger strike here, but it didn't last long. Really, the Egyptians, they're just too, they're not fanatical. And they were very...
Yeah, no one is good-natured people.
Very pleasant.
Those who visit it.
Yeah. Well, I was in Cairo, when you walk around in Cairo, you look at the people, they almost look like Tel Aviv, except they're dark, and the Egyptians are darker than the Israelis. They're like a Sephardic Israelis.
I think at this point, if you feel so, I have a feeling that we somehow covered this period.
I think so, because
then... Do you agree with me?
I will, after that...
And after the... What happened after...
After the 60s.
You left the army.
I left the army in...
When was
1970. I was 49 at the time. That was the time when...
49?
Yeah, my father passed away. And... my uncle passed away here in the United States, and I had to come here. But I asked to be on vacation without pay for a year. And then I came here and asked to be discharged pension, which they didn't like to do because. Pension, they have to pay me pension for $2 more. I mean, that's small of an army after this Israeli army, that would be a consideration. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be a consideration in a year,
yeah.
But there it was. Mm-hmm. And it went all the way to the Ramakal, the people start. And I got I was pensioned. It's an honorary discharge. I still remained in the reserve, and I still continued working for Israel. In the beginning, I worked with some banks, and then I was in Israel in 1979-80. I was there for about 8 months, and I was back in the Israeli services.
What did you do there? I didn't know that. 1879.
Yeah, 1979-80. I was there.
You mentioned it, but I didn't know you were doing something.
Well, I did something similar to before. It was mainly translations from. From German and English manuals that my expertise in Western and so on was needed, and I tried to do it. I was then. Nothing, and I really was glad when they needed me. But then after that, at the end of that, I got a complete release because I was already old enough to after you are in the intelligence, but then I asked for release because the problem was every time I came to Israel for a visit, I used to come every year to visit before I was there for 9 months. I was 8, 9, maybe even 10 months. I remember I had to come back because I had a green card then, and if you stay over a year, then you lose it. So I remember that was the problem. Then I could have stayed longer. They would have let me I went back, and before I left. Every time I came to Israel, I had to go and stamp my reserve card. Otherwise, you can't leave the country because I still come in with an Israeli card. I still feel Israeli, and I especially have a pension there. I mean, I owe Israel a lot. I can't just, I mean, I'm born in Germany. You know the law, or maybe you don't know. An Israeli, if he's born in Israel, or if he is born like in an Arab country, like my wife, they have to go to Israel with an Israeli passport.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot use the American passport. In my passport it says Germany, so I can come in with the American. I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I still feel very close to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Israeli.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of Israel, and especially of my part that I played during the time that I was there, and I just hope that the future will be better than it looks right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with this, on this note, we can
conclude the day.
Conclude this day. Monday, or you need more than a week to prepare?
Yeah, I just want to take the
notes for what's going on. So you'll do it next Monday?
We'll do it next Monday, right? Same time.